Louise, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The piece that you wrote, I love Sundays because I get the Detroit paper and I get the LSJ and I get a cup of coffee and I like to just go through the paper. And the story that you had on the front page was titled "The Whole Truth: Switching to a Fresh Real Food." Real food is a key healthy habit. We know all that, but the way you wrote this, which we're going to get into, is very interesting. Where'd you get the idea?
Well, you know, we've been covering the issue of obesity and efforts to combat obesity in Michigan since July. Actually, a little bit farther than before that. And this kept coming up in my reporting that that this issue of what we're eating and how in some cases people are basing their diets on things that's not even real food was a common theme. So we decided to devote an entire installment of this series to that issue.
And not only did you talk about the specifics about trying to switch to healthy food, but you had some folks who did the same thing, and it changed the relationship of a family and the life of a dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked to a lot of people who have tried different ways to lose weight, of course, and we've got the one gentleman we've been following who had gastric bypass surgery. And as part of that, of course, he has to drastically change how he eats. And he has found that since the surgery, a man from Ovid named Bray Medina, since the surgery, he can't even stomach the thought of fast food anymore. He finds himself craving real healthy foods, and he didn't anticipate that. He thought it would be a bigger struggle to sort of get off the processed food kick, and he has found that not to be true. We also, featured a family from Lansing, the Eldridge family, who, just made a conscious decision after they had their first baby that they wanted to model better behavior for their daughter, and they wanted to be as healthy as they could as parents. And they have now reached a point where, basically, if they can't trace the source of what they're eating, where it came from, they don't eat it, and they've lost almost a combined 100 pounds as a couple. And, basically by following some pretty simple food rules, and that's not necessarily counting calories or fat grams, but just deciding they're going to eat non-processed food.
All right. One of the most informing parts of the story where you talked about farm subsidies may be the blame, how we got into this boat. Talk about that.
Farm subsidies began back in the Dust Bowl era as a very, sort of progressive thing that was designed to make sure that American farmers didn't have to suffer the way that many of the farmers did in the prairie states during the Dust Bowl. It was designed to give them some insurance that if Mother Nature didn't cooperate, they would still be able to survive, and they wouldn't, face, bankruptcy every year just because of Mother Nature. But that has grown over the past few decades, past several decades, to the point where you have some critics who say that the farm subsidy system now is really designed to encourage and support corporate farmers, which is, not the sort of individual family farms that we see a lot of those in Michigan, but really farms where the headquarters might be based in downtown Manhattan, where, of course, there isn't a lot of farmland, but they own, thousands and thousands of acres throughout the country. And sort of the spinoff of that is, again, people like the slow food movement and researchers at Michigan State University have said that that has supported an overproduction of what we call the commodity crops, soy, wheat, and corn, which are the three primary crops that end up as sort of foundational ingredients for processed or manufactured foods. They end up, that you can sell, a corn producer, for example, can sell corn that then becomes processed into things like high fructose corn syrup, which you find in so many products today, or is enriched flours and those sorts of things. So, when you take those to, movements within the evolution of American food, you have a lot of people saying that farm subsidies have helped to support our dependence and the prevalence of processed foods in the American diet.
And as you write, the production of fresh fruits and vegetables don't get to, they get very little support.
They do. When you compare, you know, the amount of farm subsidies that go to the producers of not what we call non-commodity crops versus commodity crops, there's a huge disparity. There's just not the same support. And it, you know, it wouldn't be possible in your morning show today to talk about, you know, sort of the history of that. There are a lot of theories behind that, one of which is just basic lobbying support that there's, the strawberry farmers don't have the same kind of lobbying power in Washington that the corn growers do. But certainly one of the criticisms is that without that same kind of, without a more equal distribution of federal farm monies, that the non-commodity growers are forced to grow on much smaller plots of land or on much smaller farms and produce much smaller amounts than a corn grower or a wheat grower. And that they're also not then allowed to invest in innovations that would perhaps allow them to grow year-round in Michigan.
Is change coming with that?
Some people hope there's change coming. I don't think you're going to see a lot of change in the next Farm Bill renewal. And part of that is twofold. One is that, of course, we found out yesterday that the Super Committee in Congress failed to reach a deal on cuts in time, and there had been a push to get the Farm Bill renewal package pushed through the Super Committee process. And because of that, you had some people complaining that they didn't have ample opportunity to promote and lobby for some changes in the farm subsidy program that they were hoping to see implemented in the 2012 Farm Bill. But also, I think the politics of 2012 being a presidential election year, again, I don't think you're going to see a lot of change in that. However, there have been some changes. There have been more grant money becoming available through the Department of Agriculture to support things like hoop house innovations. But in terms of the farm subsidies themselves, and is there going to suddenly be a big influx of new cash to non-commodity growers? No, we're not going to see that.